Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 339 of the Sunny 16 podcast. It's wonderful to be here, as always. I am joined by my very special co-host today, Claire. Hello, Claire.
Hi, Rachel. Hi. Good to be here and see you. Always.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while, so it's good to sort of catch up about what we've been up to and what's out there, really, what's happening, isn't it?
It'll be really nice to find out what's been going on for you. Just a little update, because I know our listeners will be most upset to hear that our wonderfully esteemed producer is not with us today, sadly. So Graham cannot be co-hosting. He is full of the joys of spring, also known as a terrible cold. So unfortunately, he's sounding very, very bunged up. So send hot water bottles and lots of Calpol. No, we don't have Calpol as adults, do we? That's just children, toddlers. But I think it's basically
Coltsfoot. Do you have that? You are Coltsfoot. It's a medicine.
No, really?
We have Coltsfoot. It's like this herbal medicine. It's very good for colds. So
we just got a message saying I'll take Calpol instead of Coltsfoot. I was like, maybe as a vegetarian, I don't know that Graham or I would actually be able to eat Coltsfoot. So
we'll see. I'm veggie too. I think it's all right.
I think it's all right.
We send him our love, don't we?
We do, absolutely. Mm. So Graham won't be with us, but we're gonna have an lovely show anyway. We're gonna have a little catch up. I am sitting here in the at the end of April. It's the 23rd of April as we record this today, with two hot water bottles, three jumpers, and a glass of red wine, because I need warming up. It's been so weird in terms of the weather and like how cold it's been. But actually, at least the last couple of days has been nice and bright and sunny. So it's been lovely to see some sunshine coming out. It's made everything feel a little bit more like, spring is nearly here now. Hooray. So getting to go out and shoot again is definitely more appealing, which is lovely. So I know that we've both been up to quite a lot of bits and pieces. Maybe Claire, do you want to start with what you've been doing?
Because it's been a while, so I've been busy. We're always busy, aren't we? Everyone's always busy. So I did some work with a band, so they asked me to do some pictures. So I've been busy scanning. I haven't finished my scanning because there's a lot there. So I was doing that. I did some other sort of personal work as well. And then again, like you just said, Rachel, the same for me here. It's been like nothing but rain, but then it's been lovely that to see a bit of sun on the horizon. So planning for my next projects in the weather. It's Polaroid week as well. So it's spring Polaroid week. So obviously that's when the Polaroid community celebrate, you know.
Is it twice a year? Is it like spring and autumn?
Spring and autumn, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's the spring one. So it's always nice to see the work. It's nice for the community to celebrate. And it always reminds me that, especially when it's been a bit, you know, the sun's come out today, that I'd love to be on a, my throat's going, I'd love to be on a, you know, I love Wim Wenders' Polaroids. So it always makes me, when I look at his work, it always makes me feel like I want to travel and get on the road. And actually, I've also been watching a really good documentary called The Century of Self. Which is all about, basically, it's the history of advertising. And it's about Freud and then how people took his ideas to kind of influence people in marketing, and it's focused mostly on America. It's very, very good. I've enjoyed it. And of course, within that, I was seeing glimpses of some footage of California in, I think, the 50s and 60s. And again, it was making me think, that's my sort of like dream to be there shooting.
Yeah.
So that's been good. Just to say on watching things as well, just to give another kind of reference to Tish Murta, the film Tish. It's so good.
I was literally just bringing that up, actually.
Because
in my little vintage photography Discord group, I've created a section on ideas and inspirations just for people to kind of like add things as they kind of come up. And actually one of them is, of course, Tish Mirth. And we were lucky enough that they brought it to Liverpool and had the screening of it at FACT, actually. Yeah. Sadly, I wasn't able to go, and there was a Q&A and everything, I think, with that, which sounded amazing. Have you had a chance to watch it now then, Claire?
I have. It's a really well put together documentary, because her work's astounding. Mm. And her daughter, obviously, has been a prominent part, and she's, you know, she's narrating with input from other individuals. Her work's amazing. But what is really sad to me, and it just shows the... you know, the struggle that a lot of people face in the photography. And I don't know, because she was a woman, but I think it's more class, because she's a working class woman, basically. So it's that social class element. Yeah. And it was really sad to see that, you know, when she died young and she struggled. So it was bittersweet for me, because obviously now she's in the Tate and everything, but it's like she wasn't alive to see, I think, the credit she deserved. Her work is, I just think it's exceptional. Documentation of life in up in the Northeast. I love her work, and she was commissioned. There was a group of photographers, and actually Brian Griffin was one, but they were commissioned by the Photographers Gallery in London to do a series on London by Night, and her work was astounding. She was part of that, so I would encourage anyone to watch it. It's interesting. She's an interesting artist. Individual, and like I say, I think her work is just exceptional. So you know, tinged with a bit of sadness, and it also reminded me as well of for us all, everything's so selective. You know, like, she was turned down for grant funding. You know, the Arts Council Ingle turned her down turned her project ideas down, and so you have to remember, it just makes you in the bigger picture, that quite often it's a select group of people who can sometimes be gatekeepers or just their view at the time. But you know, now she's in, you know, her work's in the Tate, Britain, and different places. But so I just, it was great, but it was kind of bittersweet as well. But well worth watching. And of course, there's some always good exhibitions about, isn't there? I'd really like to see, but again, it's down south, Milton Keynes, the Saul Leiter exhibition.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah, I think that'd be great to see. I do love his work, and and I think there's gonna a good one coming up in the V&A as well in London. I think it's Fragile Beauty, and I think it's is it been curated by Elton John, because he's a big photography collector, isn't he?
Yes.
So there's good things on the horizon, and of course London Photo is coming up. It's not that far from the horizon, and other things. We're getting into festival season, so of course we've got things like the Experimental Festival in Barcelona, which I took part in the past a couple of years. But that's a good coming together of sort of creative minds in the beautiful, beautiful city of Barcelona.
I'm not taking part this year. We can obviously talk about it and share it, and I'm sure that there will be plenty of people who would, you know, love to be part, or, you know, to know about that. So you did a couple of years with that festival, didn't you?
I did a couple of years, yeah. I was invited the first year. I had some work in an exhibition, and then I did a talk with Kate Hook, actually. Kate Hook and Matthew on double exposures. And and then the next year, was it then what year after, I was invited to curate an exhibition, so that was fun. So I curated some work, and then it was quite fun. I will talk about Yoda, you know, I loved it, you know, not just thinking of the theme and the work that best fits that theme, and then obviously the hanging of it, and I brought in mirrors and different things, and then there was a sound installation as well. So I worked with a sound artist. So that was nice. That was a nice experience. Very stressful though, isn't it? It's a lot of organising right at the end. It's high stress, isn't it? But it was all positive. Yes, there's some positive things on the horizon, and just if I rewind back to Tish, more things that I'm watching, that kind of more documentation, really.
Yeah.
Have you watched, Rachel? And I know I'm digressing slightly. Yeah. But
it's a classic Claire.
Yeah. I've been watching. It's amazing. It's set in, it's New York. It's a New York guy, and he's a filmmaker. It's called How To with John Wilson. Okay. Oh, it's, I think it's absolutely brilliant. I can't. He goes round New York, basically document, but with a camera, and it's just brilliant. So I would encourage anyone to watch it.
Fictional or factual? Is this like a real person?
It's a real person. Yeah, it's a real person called John Wilson. Right. Who just goes around New York, and there's like he's basically, I think he's gone around for years with his camera, and he's amalgamated tons of footage, and then there's like three seasons, and each episode has a how to. So it might be how to, I don't know, one of them was how to track your parcel. And you'd have to see it because they're quite surreal, but I just think it's brilliant.
So is it's quite like an informative, an informative educational kind of.
Absolutely. How he's put it together is brilliant.
I wish you could track our parcels here. It's such a nightmare, honestly. You know, you think you spend all this time going, but I thought I was a photographer, and I thought this is what I was doing. And actually, I've just ended up in this chaos of trying to like ship stuff from one side of the world to the other, or like track things going from like down the road to here. And you're like, oh boy. So, well, that would be good to get some hints and tips from. So,
It's also quite inspiring when you see it. I thought, when going around New York on all these like really kind of like characters, basically, and really after watching The Tish, which is, you know, one film, and then watching this, which is basically a filmmaker going around, it can inspire you because of the characters that you can basically, if you go around and hang around towns, you know. But anyway, I am doing
a very different kind of TV to watch today.
How To with John Wilson. I can't recommend it enough.
I will definitely try and check that out. That sounds really good.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's with HBO, and I know I'm digressing now, and there's actually a bit, it's one of my favorite scenes, was he goes back to his old university or his old college, and there's a group of sort of like young girls, and they're going, are you really from HBO? And he's like, yes. You can Google me. And they're going, no, you're not from HBO. And he is. But it's good. It's very it's got a lot of good irony. It's just really well put together piece of filmmaking. That's, and you might get inspired to pick up a camera and go and pound your city center for all the characters.
Yeah, that's always a good thing, isn't it? You know, it's always just time that I struggle with that. But yeah, if you know, whoever it is, if they can inspire you to get out there with the camera more and shooting more, then I think that's got to be a really good thing, actually.
100%.
I was when you were talking about Tish, obviously, I, like I say, I haven't actually still had chance to watch it, and I am looking forward to watching it. I think one of my favourite images of her is the woman, or the young woman in a sort of like trench coat kind of thing. She's sitting on the chair in the midst of like all the rubble.
I think I know the shots.
Yeah, and that has just always stuck with me, you know, as just, I don't know, that one really appealed to me as a juxtaposition, I suppose, or like the highlighting that kind of very sort of like 70s, 80s, you know, deprivation kind of, and very working class kind of like background, you know, a lot of it was quite, you know, familiar to me. I was very young at the time, but these like, this, you know, I grew up on a council estate in the Midlands, and a lot of, you know, the sort of like settings were very familiar to me.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, oh yeah, this is, you know, looking at photos from when I was young, you know, and you know, of our street or whatever, the front door and round the, you know, the like back alleyways and stuff like that. I was like, oh yeah, a lot of this does look quite familiar, actually. It's really powerful stuff. And now, you know, the idea, of course, you know, she's only famous because she's now dead, you know, or only, you know, gets to that level of recognition afterwards. And it's like, it's fallen to her daughter to kind of like, continue this on. And I mean, hats off, you know, to her that she is doing that, and it has actually now become something that people are taking a bit more notice of, and saying, you know, so like you say, bittersweet, but I'm glad that that's
bittersweet. And like you say, I think, you know, a lot of people can see their, like you say, their childhood in that. And I think one thing that came across, because it was her life, she was living in the communities, so people were obviously very comfortable with her being around the camera and stuff, and so she managed to get just really great natural powerful shots, like you say. And I know this is going to sound really superficial, but she, if you look, there's a lot of photographs of her as well from that time, and she was stunning. She was almost like, you know, behind the camera, but she could have well been a model in front of her. I know that sounds superficial, but she was. And it was sad because she died, and I thought it was really sad. Her daughter was saying that, you know, when she died, she was in a house, she couldn't afford to put the heating on and stuff like that. So poor. So she was kept out, you know. There was kept out, and just made me a bit bittersweet, but amazing work.
It kind of, when I was at Photo North Festival, so because obviously we were talking about various different things that we've been up to recently, and one of the things I'd been part of was for the first year, actually, I think this is their fifth year this year. First one for me was Photo North, and that was in Leeds at the Carriage Works Theatre. So that was an interesting and tricky journey across the country. It's easier to go like down to London and back than it is to go across. But it was a really great event to be part of. And actually, one of the photographers, I was just while you were talking, I was going back through photos on my phone that I took. I tried to capture all of the images, you know, at least something of all of the photographers who are part of this really big exhibition that was going on there. And one that immediately struck me as I walked in was Anne Worthington. And actually she's taken this whole set of images around East Manchester.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll be able to, if you can sort of see.
Yeah.
It's very much a kind of Tiff immersive feel to it, actually. And Anne's a little bit older. I had the pleasure of like actually getting to chat to her, but this image I just thought was just brilliant. And again, similar kind of like feel that, you know, this was just very much on the street, you know, of Manchester. And this particular year, it says each year Photo North Festival spotlights a contributing photographer to the British Culture Archive. So this was around East Manchester, and in a way, at least it's sort of like, it means that this collection of images that Anne has created and is still able to obviously be here and talk about and kind of like share, I think that's really important, because it is starting to show that, yes, this, you know, everything that Tish created as her body of work, we can't change what's happened there, but maybe it means that there's a bit more awareness for other female photographers who are documenting in a similar way, who are around, and perhaps, you know, they'll be listened to a little bit more, maybe there'll be a little bit more, you know, a sharing of that and celebration of their work that they've done. So and Anne was just great, so it was lovely.
I'm sure I've seen her. Was Anne the one who's had an exhibition in the Manchester Art Gallery a few years back?
I wouldn't like to say, because I don't know for certain, but a lot of her work obviously is shot around East Manchester, so it's quite possible. You'll have to check it and see. But I feel like you probably get on, Claire. Very lovely. So you should have some chats and things. But so Photo North was brilliant, really excellent, like brilliantly curated, a real variety of work in terms of subject matter and in terms of photographers being, you know, kind of like showcased as well, which is really important. Had some excellent like conversations with people who were very interested in what I was doing with the Afghan box camera as well, which is lovely. Some challenges, as there always are with when you walk into a space like this and you're not quite sure what you're walking into, and I realized that I wouldn't be able to, where they set me originally, I was like, I actually won't be able to get any portraits at all, because they're way too close, and I was the opposite end from a window, so there was no light. So in the end, I ended up moving up to the other side of the room, where it was like a big window. So that was good. So I did actually manage to shoot a few portraits whilst I was there.
I was going to say, because I saw something on social media and you had a snap saying that people were watching the magic of your box. Is that when you were developing the images from the...
Yes. So I got I got a couple of stools, so I got, you know, people to sit or stand in position to have their portrait done. And actually it was quite low ceilings because it was a theatre, but it was not in like a theatre space, if you like. Mm-hmm. But the ceilings were kind of like quite low, sort of false ceiling type thing. But where I ended up setting up meant that it looked like there was a kind of like a corridor, you know, sort of behind them. So it was quite a nice perspective. So I've got them sort of stand or sit on the stool in front of me and then could make the exposure basically, and then process it as well while they waited and watched, and then do like the reveal for them. So that was really great.
The reveal's lovely.
Yeah, I had I actually got a lift over with all my equipment and things to Leeds, but sadly the person, my friend who'd gone over, had to get back halfway through the Saturday. So I was there on the Friday and I was there all day on the Saturday, but I was like, what am I going to do about getting everything back?
Yeah.
So, I ended up getting the train with my Afghan box camera and one suitcase. So I packed down literally everything else I possibly could, sent that back in the car with Camilla. And then I was like, okay, can I still run this? It was like a good way of testing it out to see what was possible, but I ended up having to get 3 trains, a tram and 2 buses to get back.
I have UK trains with all your photography in. But oh, that was brave. I was going to say, was it a whole weekend, Rachel, that was a weekend event?
Or... That's right. So the event itself was the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'd wanted to do the whole thing, but I'm not sure if this is just every weekend in Leeds, but the Friday night was like £40 to stay at the Premier Inn and the Saturday night was 160. And I was like, can't do that. So unfortunately I could only do the Friday, Saturday. And then got the train back on the Saturday evening. So it was on for the extra day, and as a whole event, really great. We had some familiar faces, some really like some lovely stuff, some lovely work, obviously some really interesting work. I didn't really get enough chance to go and spend a lot of time looking at it all, sadly, so I kind of went around with my phone to do a quick snapshot document. I'll look at these afterwards, you know, kind of take it in, but that was great. So lovely to see people coming and saying hello, and familiar faces and some, you know, new faces as well, which is great. Because
how many portraits do you reckon you shot?
I'm not actually sure, maybe about 10, something like that.
Very nice.
In total, but I was only there for like the 2 days and things. And actually before we got on the call, I was just saying I actually joined the RPS whilst I was there. I realized that at some point I maybe had been a member, but my membership had lapsed, and I was like, this would be quite nice to, you know, kind of like take up again. So I was waiting excitedly for my magazine to come through the post, and it's actually been really interesting. I've literally just opened it now, and some of the things that you've been talking about, like the Elton John thing and something else you mentioned.
It's the Spider exhibition in Milton Keynes, and is it called Fragile Beauty? Am I right?
I think it probably is. I'll have a quick check and see. I was like, oh, this is all mentioned in here. So that's quite serendipitous, actually.
We're coming into quite a rich photographic kind of exhibition season, actually.
Absolutely. So there's a section actually in the magazine which is called What to See. So
there we go, Claire.
They've pretty much downloaded your brain here, Claire, I think. And one of them is Saul Leiter, An Unfinished World is that one. That's on in Milton Keynes until the 2nd of June. Obviously it's talking about, you know, one of the masters of color photography, and it's obviously a New Yorker. So this is the largest UK show, apparently, largest ever UK show dedicated to his work. Featured 171 photographs and 40 of his paintings. So it sounds interesting.
He was a painter. That's it. His first love, I think, was painting. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he's someone that he has a discipline where he paints every day, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is, that's a lot, isn't it, to take on? One of the other ones that's mentioned in here actually is called After the End of History, British Working Class Photography, 1989 to 2024.
That'd be good.
That's on at the Herbert Art Gallery and Museum in Coventry. Mm-hmm. It's on until the 16th of June, and it says, historically, working class people have been the subjects of projects. For the new exhibition, the curator Johnny Pitts, foregrounds photographers who tell their stories about their own working class identities and experiences. After this run, the show will tour nationally. So it's currently it will be on in Coventry until the 16th of June, and then touring nationally. Yeah. Again, might be another one for people to check out. So yeah, that's actually been quite handy that has turned up today.
Are you big exhibition of your own, Rachel? Tell us about that. How's that?
Well, I don't know about big exhibition. It's a collective exhibition. As listeners may or may not know, it is my 10-year anniversary this year for Little Vintage Photography. And I made a decision at the beginning of the year that I wanted to do various different things to celebrate, celebrate a decade, throughout the year. And the first one was putting on some kind of collective exhibition. Basically, I wanted it to be an accessible way of helping people to show their work, to put it up into exhibition. We've talked a bit about gatekeeping. We've talked a little bit about, those barriers to entry. And what I love is being able to show people these skills, help them to master some of them, that they're lifelong things that you can do forever. But that, often people don't have the confidence in what they're doing or their work, or they don't see themselves as, I can't possibly have my work up in exhibition on the wall. And the other thing is there's often financial, barriers to this, huge financial barriers, because, actually putting something like even something rather, small, like what I've done, you're talking several hundreds of pounds in total just to make this thing happen, because it's down to things like the pack of screws costs you £7, daft things like that. And the raw plugs are £15. And so suddenly it's oh my God, all these things add up, not to talk about just, the frames and the mounting and the postage and all, stuff for a launch event, and all of these things. Suddenly you go, flipping heck, that's a lot of money. So it's been a challenge, but it's been brilliantly supportive from donations from people who've been involved, people who felt like they were able to give towards putting something like this together has really helped, because I couldn't have financially done this myself. I've covered obviously what I can as part of it, and I wanted it to be a kind of a little bit of a gift back to the patron community who supported me, over time. So I was if I use some of that towards putting this on, it meant that I could do a kind of open call to the patron supporters of Little Vintage Photography, from anybody who'd done a workshop with me in the past, and from people who were my darkroom members. And I wanted to kind of offer that option for people to send in their work, no submission fee, basically get an image of theirs up on the wall, put it into exhibition, and if they wish to sell it, then great, because that would be lovely. And so I'm doing that without no commission fees and things as well. It's all these hidden costs, trying to put on an exhibition that it puts up so many barriers for people who don't just have £40 for this, and it's and then it takes 20% or 25 or 40% sometimes of
50% sometimes,
exactly. And it's God, this, it took me a day to print this image, and you're walking away with a tenner, and it's
it looked amazing.
I was so proud of what everybody had sort of put to, done as part of this. And I didn't have a theme. The theme was basically, this is a collective show. So that was, I wasn't 100% sure how it was going to look, how it was actually going to come together. But I set a few parameters in order to try and help make it feel cohesive, at least. So it was 10x8 image, 10x8 paper, with a black and white. It was sort of a double inlay frame for each of them. I did them without glass, actually. I'll talk about it in a moment. For most of them, with one exception, actually.
Is that The reflections, Rachel.
Yes.
With the light glare. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was twofold reasons. So one was because of the reflections, because the actual exhibition itself, I was hosting in a bank vault. Yeah. So the lighting in there is like interesting lighting strip. It's basically like original strip lighting that's in there in this concrete shell. So it's, I mean, the walls are literally a meter like thick. And you were talking about an exhibition with a soundscape. Like, the actual exhibition venue for this is a soundscape of its own, because you walk inside and it is the most incredibly like echoey space. You know, it's not that big, but it sounds different in terms of acoustics. So quite often sound you know, sound artists will come and use that space to record in, because it's so unusual. But yeah, so there's the whole like sound kind of like feel around it, and then trying to kind of put the exhibition itself together, because it was a very eclectic mix of images. You know, these are basically images that I said to people, you know, submit your favorite image that, you know, you haven't yet had chance to exhibit, or something you'd like to see, you know, or something that you'd like to share. So there was no theme in terms of subject. In a way, I actually really liked it, and I feel like it would be nice to do more like that, because otherwise sometimes it can feel a little bit samey, you know, if there is a theme and everybody's had a similar kind of like approach to it, then it can feel a lot of like, oh, if everybody's kind of come to a subject with very different ideas, then obviously really exciting. But yeah, seeing it as kind of like, oh, these are still life. And then these ones are around like urban dereliction. And then these ones are around portraits. And
yeah,
and so there were sort of themes that came up, if you like, but because there were 25 artists, it was quite broad, you know, in terms of the subject matter.
But then that's quite nice as well, because you'll bring your own kind of vision, won't you, to how and what goes there. So you bring your kind of individual that process. Did you do that? Did you set out, like, as the work was coming through, were you thinking, I think I might have, you know, did you have a plan? Did you have, like, I don't know how you do it, organize in your head where you think the images would go, what would go together? And then, you know, when you put them sometimes either up against the wall or on the wall, sometimes you can be quite, you can think, well, actually, now I'm here and in the space, I'm going to keep them as I've thought, but actually I'm going
to move
things away.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Things definitely changed on the day, because we were literally hanging the pieces the day of the opening, which meant that it was really up against it in terms of time, and that all the last minute things I knew would be a last minute stress and I tried to mitigate, unfortunately hadn't happened. So it was still like, this is all going on around me. And I, of course, my printer wasn't working. I couldn't get the interps and sorted. That's the bit of text to go next to next to the image. Sometimes they call it interp, I discovered. I was like, okay, that's not something I knew a term for. Again, it's these little things that make you feel like, oh, I don't know what it, you know, I don't see myself within this art world, because I don't know what interp is. What on earth does that mean? But I discovered through the process of doing this that it means the text that interprets, or is the artist's interpretation of what it is. So like the what's the print titled, is there any background, is there information about what film or camera or how they've printed it.
Because
in terms of the scope of it, I basically gave those kind of like constraints of 10x8 black and white, had to be shot on analog and or printed in the dark room. So there were, I think, 6 that were analog images, but that were digitally scanned and then sent off to get printed at the lab. I use Loxley. They've been great. I've always used them for anything, you know, to get printed digitally, because I've always loved, you know, the colours and how it's come back. And then the others were all printed by hand in various dark rooms. Obviously, some were in my dark room, but, you know, some people on the other side of the world or in different parts of the country or what have you. So they printed them themselves. Different choices of paper. I think we had 2 on fibre-based papers and the rest on, like, resin-coated. So some on glossy, some on
pearl. I was going to say, did anyone submit any glossy?
Yep. I think we had 2 on glossy, actually. And we were talking about the glass, and I decided, because it was like a double inlay, like frame and then mount and then frame out, outside it, I thought, actually, let's go without the glass because of the reflections. And it meant that depending on where you put the image, especially if it was a darker image, if it was higher up, it was difficult to see it.
Yeah,
even without the glass. So yeah, I had to move ones that were a bit of a darker.
Yeah.
Like there's one of a dancer that's a single light. There's lit with a single light. It's really beautifully done. That was done by Josh, who came along to the dark room last week and printed it. But when I looked at it, I was like, you just can't see the detail, you know, if it was too high. So I had to bring that down a little bit. So those kind of things I didn't know
all
until
the day. Decisions that you have to. Yeah. And also that isn't this, like you said, that the day of the opening, as what you were saying, can be high stress, can't you find that you had to tell yourself enough is enough now? Like, you know, if you start looking and thinking, oh, I think maybe if I move that one here, maybe you have to, at a point you have to just cut off and say no, because it's this I have to do this and this let alone get ready, and then, you know,
if I'd had that luxury of that, absolutely, that is what I would have done. But I was literally there with, where's the masking tape gone for, like, sticking these pieces of text next to them. In the end, because my printer had broken, I'd had to send the text over to Hillary, who actually had some of her work in the exhibition, Hillary Clark. And I said, can you print this? Bring it with. I've got the laminator. So we were there. I was like, who can work a laminator whilst I'm doing the rest of the, like, framing, getting everything kind of up the walls and things. And then kind of like cutting it. And of course, the masking tape disappeared the moment I needed to stick them on the wall. In the end, it was only 10 minutes late, actually, opening. Had a little queue outside, which is lovely. So I just went up the stairs and said, I'm ever so sorry, we're just a few minutes late, but bear with us, there is cake, there will be some drink. so that always helps, I think.
Did you feel when you stood there with your, like, glass of wine and think that when people were there?
Relieved, I think. First of all, I was just like, okay, so this is happening now. But actually, it was also slightly terrified that something might fall off the wall. But it was all okay, and so far it's all held up okay, so touch wood. It was okay, well, this is now happening, and I need to take a step back now and just watch and hope, you know, see how people interact with it, which is really nice. So I think if I had had just the extra maybe hour or so to do that, like you said, Claire, you stand there and go, oh, maybe just go here, and it was a necessity of the situation I found myself in. There was no time to do that, so in a way that decision was taken away from me, which is quite good. But then it meant I could go, okay, I'll step back and I'll just watch everybody else reading the text and looking at the pieces and seeing, you know, how they're enjoying it. And I had some people come up, you know, from, Stephen came up from Croydon, and we had Dickie came up from Reading. So, you know, people travel quite a long way to come and see their work, and to really, the other part of why I wanted to do this is to bring people together in a space to talk to each other, because, as you'll know, Claire, like, as photographers, sometimes it's quite an isolating or a solo experience, shall we say? And you're kind of just there either, like, in your own head or your own, like, creative vision or your own challenges, you know, and you get stuck in a rut, and it's like, how do we get out? You need your cheerleaders, you need your people who are there to kind of, like, help with that, or just bounce ideas off, you know?
Yeah.
So I really wanted to offer that in-person experience as well, for people to see their work on the wall, see other people's work on the wall, have physical conversations, you know, over a bit of food and a drink or whatever, and just to build that sense of community that we have. And I see people, obviously, when they come and use the dark room, or listeners when they write in, or I get emails, but they don't see each other. And I was like, okay, so setting up the Discord has been great, because that's given one aspect of it. Doing the virtual film development parties is the other part of it. And I was like, okay, some sort of exhibition would be lovely. And then, of course, I'm hoping for October, we will be doing the Analog Retreat. Yeah. So I wanted to build it over the course of the year to, you know, make it feel more of a I suppose, a collective, you know, community effort, if you like. So yeah, it's been really great. And there's so much I would do differently next time, mm-hmm. as you know, as we always learn from these things, because I have done exhibitions before, yeah. And what have you, but this was a bit of a different one, I think, because I was bringing in other people's work and
your new space as well, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
Environment. But so, I'm glad you had a great, I'm glad it was a real success. It looked great. And I'm glad you stood there. As I said, when you have that glass of wine, you'll be happy. Although I find that I have a mixture sometimes of satisfaction, like you say, it's high stress, and you think, oh, it was worth it, da da da. But then sometimes I don't know, I can't help sometimes looking then at my work, noticing all the faults. You're standing there going, you know, like, oh, I think, you know, being really critical, thinking, oh, well, actually, I wish I had moved that, or you know, same with that, anything. Yeah, I can't help.
Such is the life of a creative, I think, Claire, unfortunately. Yeah. I think that's half of the course in the nicest possible way. But
did you have any of that when you think, you know, no one else will probably notice, or no one else, it's just, you can,
obviously, like, I was like, well, that's not quite straight, and I wish I'd been able to get this there, and, you know, maybe actually that would have been better, but honestly, I was just so exhausted and so relieved that it was happening.
Actually, what I should maybe the correct thing of saying is, you watch it with your kind of critical internal dialogue, which is telling you there's flaws. And probably, you know, like, if I was there, probably says, oh, it's great, Rachel, it's nothing. But it's amazing what you can't sometimes help but notice or think that things be this way or the other. But
that's there were three pieces I just couldn't frame. And I, you know, when you were like wrung out of every ounce of your resilience by the end of an incredibly stressful sort of like period of time, and I think it was about 4 o'clock actually at this point, and I was like, I could not get these bloody prints straight. I could not get them because they'd only turned up 2 hours before that. Wow. So it was like, okay, great, it's like a triple, three pieces. But they turned up 2 hours before it was about to sort of like start, and I'd spent 30 minutes with them, and I was like, I can't, I just couldn't do it. I was like, I have to delegate this to somebody else now, because this is absolutely gonna stop me doing anything else.
Yeah.
And they did manage to get them in, and I was like, that's your task, those three. Thank you very much. Please take that away from me, because I was starting to go a little bit spiral a little bit with it. And that actually really helped, because I was like, nope, delegate, it's okay. Yeah. There's other people around, there's some extra hands. When I'm setting up for like a market or a stall or a, you know, an event or something, I really hate there being people around. I have to be in the space, like on my own, do my thing in the way that I need to get it set up, because otherwise I don't know where anything is, and it feels very, very stressful.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, I would kind of realize that I would have to just say yes to any offers of help and be like, please, yes, come along. Please, you know, like, give us a hand getting the banners put up and the stuff that, you know, I could delegate to somebody else.
Yeah.
The other stuff. So that actually was, I feel like it was quite a big thing for me. Graham will probably be like, yeah, Rachel, that's like, this is a miracle, because
in a history talking about it.
Yeah. I just
no, but and also, you know, it's amazing 10 years to for your little vintage photography's been going, you know, with all the challenges of that and COVID. That's the double celebration.
Yeah, boy, it's been a heck of a journey, listeners. Mm-hmm. 10 years. It's and the landscape of analog photography has changed so much, obviously, in that time too, which is. It's been really wonderful to see, and regrets. Yeah, we could do a whole show on, like, you know, things that I wish I'd known or done or whatever at the time. But you can only go with, you know, the situation as you find yourself in it, can't you? You know, make decisions in that moment. So it is.
We can control, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. But you've made history, and shall we also remind our listeners? Next of our cheap shot challenge, isn't it?
I think that's a great idea.
The theme is history, and I think we've made the deadline May the 11th, didn't we, Rachel?
Yes, we're not 100% sure about that, but we're going to go May the 11th, which is a Saturday. If any of our listeners want to correct us on that, please feel right in and tell us.
Bring in your work to us, yeah?
Yes.
Love to see it. So, yeah. So, so should we do a recap for in case there's anyone new listening? What the perimeters are and what the kind of are for the cheap shots challenge.
Sounds good, Claire. Do you want me to do it or you?
Yeah, go on.
All right. So cheap shots challenge, as Claire says, for anybody who doesn't know or is new to this, the idea is that you have a cheap camera or within the theme of the general kind of ethos of being cheap, under £50. We sort of say now it was originally under 30, I think, or 20. Life has changed in the last 10 years. So if you've got a camera that is classed as cheap, then that can be your camera for the Cheap Shots Challenge. You keep the same camera through the subsequent rounds. Each round will have a different theme. So previously, we've just had the theme of literature, which Graham somehow won. Don't know how that happened. And we're going to be now moving on to the theme of history. So Alex, who was one of our listener submissions, chose the theme of history. So that's going to be the new theme for this round. The deadline, as we say, we think is the 11th of May. Our apologies if we've got that incorrect. But the idea is that you'll shoot a roll of film using your cheap shots camera around that theme and email it in to us. So it's sunny16podcast@gmail.com. If you send in your two favorite images from your roll of film and tell us a little bit of an artist statement. There we go. Yeah. So this is around the idea of how has this come about? What was your concept behind it? Has it worked or has it not? Or any challenges that you found by undertaking that task, if you like, by undertaking the Cheap Shots Challenge. The thing that I really like about it is the fact that you can kind of hang on to the same camera and use it for the different rounds, because a camera can be really good at one thing, but then completely the wrong kind of tool to use for another theme. So it's an interesting one to see as it progresses, really. So yes, please write in, send in your two favorite images, tell us a little bit about how you've come to take those images and what they mean to you, and send it to sunny16podcast@gmail.com by the 11th of May. That'd be wonderful. Yeah.
And we'll look forward to see the interpretations.
Absolutely.
So that's always good to see how people interpret.
Talking of which, we have had a submission actually come through, haven't we, Claire?
Yeah, we have. We have had one.
So should we read through that then?
Yeah, okay.
All right, so this is the not cheap shots challenge in brackets, Claire. So this is going to be an interesting one to find out a little bit more about. It says, hello, Sunbeams. It was wonderful to meet most of you at the photography show. Sadly, I didn't get a chance to chat with Rachel much, as every time I passed by her stand, she was fully occupied. And as we heard on the podcast, it was a busy time for her. This sounds familiar. Yes. On to the not cheap shots. The day after that last podcast came out, I saw it pop up on my player, but did not have the chance to listen to it immediately. Then I got a message from a model friend of mine asking if I had time that Saturday to come and do a shoot. Everything was planned, but their photographer cancelled at the last minute with short notice. Ah, such a shame. We've talked about this, haven't we, Claire, in the past, you know, when you've been going and doing shoots and you've had the opposite problem where the, you know, model's not turned up or somebody's, you know, let you down, etc. We frantically made plans and I started packing my photography bag. I thought about taking my cheap shots Beltika folding camera, but as it's a scale focus and I knew I'd be needing to shoot wide aperture in low light, I decided against bringing it. Instead, in addition to my digital kit, I brought my 2.8 Rolleiflex and another not cheap film camera. Those definitely don't count as a cheap shots film camera. One model had a custom-made Brock Renaissance dress that she wanted to be photographed in, and the second model had a modern but fitting outfit that gave her a distinct wicked stepmother vibe. They organised entrance to a 16th century house / museum, and we were given free run of the place for an hour.
Isn't that great?
I know, isn't that cool? The process of gaining access was something like 2 emails and a donation of €30. The people working there could not have been more friendly. That's so nice.
That's nice to hear, isn't it?
Yeah. because it I mean, it's such a sliding scale, like, isn't it, of getting access to places and how much it costs and all the back and forth over it. So I'm glad to hear this was a very positive and relatively straightforward process. Says, we did a couple of laps through the rooms with the digital camera, and then I pulled out the Rolleiflex that I had loaded with HP5, very trusty film there, just to make my life difficult in development. I pushed it to 1,000 and shot a roll with the two models. The hour went by super fast. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
And then we hurried off to the next location. An hour is like nothing, is it? Do
that. Nothing, yeah.
God. When I got home, I developed the film in the 510 pyro that I got at the photography show from James Lane, and added a bit more time on top of the 800 time to push the film a bit more, and then scanned it as always with my digital camera. About that time, I listened to the podcast and heard that the topic was history. So I did not use my Cheap Shots camera for these, so I shouldn't count them for the competition, but I thought they fit so well with the theme that I should share them anyway. And we're very glad that you did, because that's very sweet. I really love how the images came out, and in these three, how the wicked stepmother is lurking in the background.
Yeah.
It added a bit of drama to the images and almost makes one focus more on the out of focus figure in the background. What's she up to than the obvious subject? Anyway. As always, my mails have got really long. Hope you are all well and enjoy my Not Cheap Shots Challenge history pictures. All the best from John Michael Mendiza. Fantastic. Thank you so much, John Michael. It's really lovely to have your images. Even if they are not submittable for the Cheap Shots Challenge, it was really great to hear about what you've been up to, because... Yeah,
definitely. And the synchronicity of coming back and hearing about the history.
Theme. Having been in a 16th century museum house. Actually Graham has sent over the images so we can have a quick look as well.
It's very, very Tudors.
It is really Tudor. Yeah. Do you have a favourite of these images, Claire?
I do like that third one that you just spoke about with the two models. And as John describes, he describes the, what did you say, the wicked
stepmother
is in the background. I like that one. I look at the there's a fantastic look on the model's face up front as she's looking at the camera, and I like the focus of that. We were saying, weren't we, what lens that is?
Yeah, that would be the 2.8 on Rolly
75. Millimeter lens, yeah. So I think that third one,
my favorite, I think, is the first.
Oh, the first one, yeah,
yeah. I like that because I like the perspective. It's coming in a little bit higher, actually, but it's mostly because of the like misty figure in the background.
That's
very it's like threatening.
Who's that? Like that?
Yeah, yeah. Who is it in the background? Yeah. So that's I would probably go with the first one as my favorite. But yeah, either way, they're great images. It's lovely to see something like that shot on film, obviously. And I'm glad that you
had just an hour to do it. So,
Yeah, I'm very impressed with that, because boy, it's an hour goes fast.
This is so super fast.
You know, like my weddings and events and things like that are so high stress, because you've got to get so many shots in the bag in 20, you get like 20 minutes, if that. Sometimes it's like 15 minutes with the couple or whatever, and you're thinking, gosh, you know, you've really got to like nail this and get it done, kind of thing, because everyone wants to get back to their food, don't they? So yeah, well done with that, and a great location. I'm glad that it was a simple straightforward process to get into there. So yeah, brilliant. I hope everybody listening will have a chance to get a roll of film in their camera, find a cheap camera, find a roll of film, just go out and shoot. It's about having a bit of fun, messing around with film and not getting too wrapped up in, you know, the technical stuff and the fact that everything's got to be the best camera and the best lens and all the rest of it. It's, you know, a chance to have some fun with a Cheap Shots Challenge. So yeah, we look forward to seeing some more images come through soon.
We do.
Is there anything else, Claire, that we haven't covered today?
No, I don't think there's anything else. I was just going to ask you the same.
Well, it's probably a natural point to finish up the show then. Claire will let you go, and I will get back to I might get back to having a little flick through my RPS magazine and see what else is in there. That's been great.
Yeah, I think thank you, as always, to our coffee donors, isn't it?
Absolutely. We always have to say thank you to them, because without them, this show literally wouldn't happen. None of it would happen. Jeff and Gabe at I Dream of Cameras would have no home to go to. They would literally, nothing would be occurring there either. So, you know, you guys are absolutely the best, yeah, because you keep us and our sister podcast going.
Yeah.
So we really do appreciate it. Thank you very much. There is a way of if you're a new listener to the show, you can go to the coffee donation page, and you know, if you're able to, obviously we understand it's tough times for everybody at the moment, but if you'd like to support us there, then please feel free. That would be wonderful. We'd very appreciate it.
Yeah,
and please just get emails coming in. Email us at sunny16podcast@gmail.com. It would be lovely to hear more about your adventures, cheap shots or not. That would be brilliant. Until next time, we look forward to seeing you then. Thanks ever so much, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.